Every Epiphany, I am impressed with the issue of why it was that only these three kings, we'll call them Magi, were the ones who saw the star. Why were they the only ones that were bothered enough to go looking for the child? It's an interesting question, because psychologically, it is very, very plain from many studies and from my own experience that you find what you're looking for. If you're not looking for it, most of the time you won't find it. You may chance upon something. Let me share with you, I think I've shared it before at some other mass. You know, I've been here, it struck me that this year will be my 24th year of having been at St. Cyril's. And there are some images that just constantly come across my mind, and I'm sure I've shared some of them with you before, but they're important to me, and they always have made sense to me. And one of the images relating to this that came to me was, it happened to me about 10 years ago, maybe 18 years ago. I was watching, I had, you know, very little to do one night, and I decided to watch some videos on YouTube. And I came across a video on YouTube that gave you a challenge. And the challenge is, there was 10 men playing basketball. And those men were wearing, five were wearing white t-shirts and white shorts. And the other five were wearing black t-shirts and black shorts. And the challenge was, count in the next minute of the video how many times the guys in the white shorts, any guy in the white short, gets the ball. And they were passing it around. Count how many times. So I said, that shouldn't be too hard. So I played the video, and I was focusing on the guys in the white shorts and white t-shirts when they got the ball. And at the very end, I counted, and I thought I had the right answer. Well, I went to the next part of the video where the challenge was, where they explained to you what to do, and they didn't ask for a number. They asked, did you see the gorilla in the video? What? What gorilla in the video? There was no gorilla in the video. And the challenge said, watch it again, but look for the gorilla. And so I scrolled up again to the same video, and I started watching. And about minute six or seven of the, no, about, not minute six, seconds, about two-thirds of the way through, a guy in a gorilla suit walks out in the middle of all the players and goes like this and walks off. I had not seen that guy. A gorilla in the middle of a basketball game, and I didn't see it. Why? Because I was intent on looking for something else. And by looking for something else intensely, I was blinded to the gorilla. I was amazed because I didn't think a person could miss a man in a gorilla suit stepping in the middle of a video. But it happened to me. I saw it. I experienced it. The reason I tell you that story is because the question that has constantly come to me is the star. The star was hardly a very subtle sign. I mean, that star was not a private star. So the question, why was it that only 3 foreigners saw it? Why wasn't anybody else going, gee, that's a strange star. I wonder what it is, and followed it up. Nobody did. Why? Because everybody was busy doing their own thing, and nobody was really looking for it, and so they never saw it. And it's interesting, because in the reading it says nobody in all of Jerusalem had seen it or noticed it. I imagine they saw it when they looked up at the heavens, just one more star. But nobody cared enough, was intent enough to look for anything so that they didn't see the sign. It took 3 foreigners, 3 foreigners. Now you got to imagine these 3 guys, or we don't know that they're guys, could have been women, I don't know. But you got to imagine these 3 people. Folks, traveling long distance in those days was not without danger. It was hugely dangerous. When you were traveling, people would normally go in caravans and in big groups so that they could defend themselves, and you took weapons with you. There was no McDonald's, and there's no anything, and you were crossing desert territory where those people were coming from. And those 3 people were intent enough, not only, you presume that these guys are fairly well off. They didn't need to be looking for anything. They could have just been, I guess, enjoying their retirement or enjoying their kingliness and just have a great time, just enjoying life. But notice what they were doing. They were intent enough in searching through the scriptures of a foreign nation to look for the promise of a Messiah, and then to decipher it. That would take a lot of study. I mean, it's been a lot of times, not like, oh yeah, it's right here. It took a lot of study to decide that and to decipher the prophecy. And then when they say, aha, this may be happening, they had to put together a caravan. They had to put together a group of people. It cost money, resources, and they had to find the time and the courage to do it. And notice, they go, when they do this, first of all, just the amazing fact that nobody else was doing it. They were doing it, foreigners. Nobody in Jerusalem was even looking for it. And when they go, they don't know where to go. They know it's in Jerusalem, but they know it's somewhere in the Jewish state. But where? So they go to the king. Well, somebody, they presumed that somebody in authority will. Surely somebody in the government of that nation would find this important. Herod didn't even find that important. He thought it was strange. It hadn't even crossed his mind. Why? Because he wasn't looking for it. He wasn't interested. He was about his daily business. And so he's surprised. And notice when he's told, it says he called together all his advisors. Why? Not because they have a desire to find the Messiah. Herod wants to kill him. He understands the Messiah to be somebody who's going to challenge his authority. And the rest of the people in the court, Herod, by the way, was a very, very sick, violent man. He killed his wife and several of his kids. He killed them because he was afraid they were going to challenge him for authority. So this was not a guy who was looking for the truth. And so he wants to kill Jesus because he's not going to have no Messiah coming over and taking over. And you bet everybody else in that kingdom was going, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir. Nobody was looking for anything else. Now, it struck me then that these men go looking and the star continues to guide them. Let me give you just a couple of, when they find him, they walk in and they give the gifts. And then they're told to go through a different route to go home. But let me give you just a couple of takeaways that I find very, very interesting. First of all, the star. It all depends on how you want to interpret this. Sometimes people say it was a magical star. I don't subscribe to a lot of the magical religious signs. I think it was a normal star. And I think that God used a normal star to communicate a point. Here's the takeaway. No matter what you're into, imagine that, let's say these guys are into astrology, okay? Which they are. They're called astrologers. No matter what you're into, if you are a person who's sincerely seeking the truth, in sincerity of heart, you're seeking the truth, God will always use whatever you're into to guide you the right way. He will use it the right way. Even if you're, look, we know that astrology is bunk. It's total bunk. We know that now. So are we saying that these three kings or three people used astrology and astrology is correct? No, that's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that God can use whatever you are into, and he will guide you using those categories to find where you should be. Now, for example, let's say, I'm going to pick something stupid. I'm sorry. I was going to say football, but I know that may not be stupid. I'm not a sports fan at all, but Let's imagine something stupid. Let's just look at, basket weaving. Okay. Let's say you're into basket weaving. And you're just into it. Okay? But you're a person who's seeking God. I guarantee you that in some way or another, if you're seeking God and you're into basket weaving, but sincerely seeking God, God will use basket weaving to guide you. Sooner or later, you're going to see a basket, and that basket's going to say, wow, that looked like, and you'll see some kind of message in it. Now, was the message really there? No. But did God use it to get you a message? Yeah. He can use anything. And he will inspire you. But what's the prerequisite? You have to be sincerely looking. Sincerely seeking. That's why Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. But if you're not doing any of those, you know, you can go, well, I don't see anything. I see baskets. I don't see any. Why? Because you're not looking. You're not looking. When I was watching that video, it took for me to look for the gorilla to find him. You don't look for that gorilla, you're not going to find him. You don't look for God, you're not going to find him. Point number two. If you're not looking for God, or let's say you are looking for God only superficially, God will use something in your life to knock sense into you. I am a firm believer that God uses disillusionment to his advantage. You know, people say, oh, I'm burned out, I'm disillusioned with this or with that. I find this burdensome, I don't get any joy out of anything anymore, my marriage or my job or anything like that. I'm not getting any satisfaction. I'm telling you that in many cases, that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because God has to, shall we say, induce disillusionment in order for you to stop being fascinated and giving your energy to looking for where he doesn't want you to look, to seek treasure where there may not be buried treasure, to value things that may not be valuable, or actually to overvalue something that has a value, but it should not be the ultimate value. You're overvaluing something. And so God will, in some way or another, allow disillusionment to enter into your life. And at first, you will experience it as pain. You would experience it as emptiness. And that's exactly what God intended. He intended for you to feel empty. Why? So you would start looking for what really fills, for what really matters. And that happens not only if you're looking at other stuff. In my experience, that happens also in religion. I've been a priest now for, this year is going to be 45 years I've been a priest. I can't tell you how many times I've been sick of religion. I've been sick of managing a parish, and you know, you go through points of going, oh God, I got to do this again. And I've tried the best of my ability to stay faithful even when I don't feel like it. I made a promise to God to minister to his people and to be faithful to the priesthood. That doesn't mean that I'm always going to feel it. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. But I made a promise. And I think God has allowed me at different times of my life, my Christian life, to be disillusioned with it in and of itself. And the reason is he wanted me to seek deeper. that maybe I had an apprehension of religion or my faith that was a bit superficial. And God was saying, no, that's, yeah. Thank you for being religious. Thank you for being a priest. But you need to go a little deeper right there. It's not just, you know, doing these things. And so God has allowed me, I've experienced it, to be disillusioned. And it has always been an invitation to go deeper. Not a pleasant one, but it has been that. So that's the second takeaway. Don't always interpret disillusionment negatively. It's not a fun thing, but it is something that is an invitation to go deeper. So the first two takeaways are, if you don't seek, if you don't look, don't expect. Like when people say Mass is boring or religion is boring, yeah, means you're not looking very much. Okay, I know, for example, my dislike of sports is because I don't care about sports. If I were to care, I could get excited. I could get excited. Actually, this is just an aside, just to give you a little hint as to something that happened to me. About 40 years ago, I think a lot of us here are older people. When we had the Houston Oilers, if you remember the Houston Oilers, because we're the Houston Oilers, Houston Oilers, Houston Oilers number one. See, I was into football, and the Houston Oilers always used to disappoint you. Always. I'd be watching a football game, and the Oilers were winning, and then at the end, one day, I was watching the Oilers, and I was so disgusted with them, and I asked myself a crucial question. Am I having fun watching these men play? And I figured out that I wasn't having fun, that I was in a bad mood after the Oilers got beat. I was in a bad mood. And I said, why am I watching this if it makes me in a bad mood for the rest of the day? Why am I spending all this time? And then I did something called deconstruction. I took it apart. I said, I am actually caring about a group of hired grown men, because they're not even from Houston, okay? They're hired. Whoever pays them the most money, they'll put your t-shirt on. I'm caring, and I'm putting my emotions on these men who are fighting over a ball, and they want to take ball across a line. And I'm upset. Is this worth getting upset over? No, I said. But then I generalized it to all sports. And I said, no, I'm not going to get upset over sports anymore. So I did away with sports. Now, for those of you who enjoy sports, as long as you enjoy it and you don't let it get to you like I did it, let it get to me, enjoy. It's a harmless pastime, okay? But notice, I was looking too harshly, and I was overly involved in something that I should have been disillusioned with sooner or later. So those two takeaways are the main things. One, God will show you what you're looking for. He will use whatever he will show you. If you are looking superficially, your religion will be superficial. Don't, if you are not putting any work into it, your religion will be boring. because you're not into it. I am bored to tears most of the time when my friends are watching football. But that's my choice. And number two, God will use whatever you're into. If you seek Him, God will use whatever you see, whatever you're into. And if you seek Him with sincerity, you will find Him. Or shall I say, He will find you. If you allow that to happen. And third, I guess a third one would be attentive to people who want to use religion for reasons that are not so good. For the Herods in your life. Not all religion is good. Sometimes religion is not so good if it leads you to evil. Always remember, who was it that crucified Jesus? The religious people were the ones who crucified Jesus. Bad religion, that's why Jesus would save his worst words for those people, the scribes and the Pharisees, who used religion for their own purposes. So, God bless those wise men. Thanks be to God that they were looking. And thanks be to God that God doesn't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile. All He cares about is how sincere are you in looking for Him and how much are you putting into it. That determines the whole shebang.